And we are still missing Carrie, but since it's 10 o'clock, whenever you would like to get started.
Okay, sounds great. Well, since it's 10 o'clock, let's call this March meeting of the Geologist Licensing Board to order. So it's now 10 a.m., and I'm calling this regular board meeting of the Geologist Licensing Board to order. The board will provide an opportunity for comment during the meeting. As a courtesy, we encourage participants to mute their mics or your phone if you called in when you are not speaking to reduce the background noise. One challenge is remembering to unmute your mic or your phone when you are speaking. Also, for board members, to help us capture information correctly, please state your name when making comments. Thank you. So we'll move next to roll call, and I'll ask Susan to call the roll, please.
Board member Eileen Webb, she has an excused absence. And I will start with you, Chair Hanel.
Present.
Vice Chair Brock.
She's here, but she might be having technical difficulties.
I'll come back to her. Secretary Tebb.
Present.
Board member Gillum.
Here.
Board member Struthers.
Present.
And one more time for our Vice Chair Brock.
Carly, can you hear us?
Looks like she's muted.
Yeah. She is here, but she might be having technical difficulties with her audio. But we do have a quorum. We can proceed.
All right. Sounds good. So we'll move next to item three, approval of the agenda. So I'll need a motion and a second for approval of today's agenda.
Make a motion. This is Board Member Tebb for approval of the agenda.
Board Member Struthers, I second that motion.
All right, the motion has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion carries. So we'll move to the next item, which is approval of our meeting minutes from our prior meeting, which was December 7th, 2023. So we'll need a motion to approve minutes.
Chair Hanel, this is Board Member Tebb. I make a motion to approve the December 7th, 2023 minutes.
Motion has been moved. Is there a second?
This is Board Member Gillum. I second.
All right. The motion has been moved and seconded to approve our meeting minutes for December 7th, 2023. Is there any discussion? All right. Hearing no discussion, we'll move to a vote. All in favor of approval of the minutes indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion carries. We'll move forward to a very special part of today's meeting, and I'll ask Sydney to introduce it, please.
This is a very special but very bittersweet one for us, as Board Member Tebb is going to be leaving us. This is his last official meeting with us. Board Member Tebb was appointed to the board back in 2016, and he has now served two terms with us. He served in a variety of positions, and he's been on a number of committees, which I think he's on about half of our committees right now. So we're going to have some very big shoes to fill after this meeting and after his term officially ends on May 1st. But just personally, on behalf of the staff, we are so thankful for Tom's guidance and his patience with us, especially with all of us newbies coming on board. This has been probably the most technical board for us to have to really dive in with and learn. We don't get into as many of the technical aspects with some of our other programs that we do with the Geologist program. And Tom has been a wonderful resource for all of us and really been very patient helping us learn and understand so much more about the field of geology. So we're very thankful for him. And so, Tom, we're very much going to miss you, and we may still be pinging you from time to time with questions.
Well, first of all, let me just say thank you, and what a privilege it's been to serve on this board and to give back in some small way to our profession. So I just, you know, want to encourage our current board members and maybe others that are considering, service like this. It's well worth it. It's been, personally rewarding for me to be able to work on the Department of Licensing side of this, to understand the complexities that you all face and trying to make sure we have good applicants for our exams. Looking at the exams, just outreach with our universities. It's just been a wonderful experience, and I would just strongly encourage, for current board members to stick it out for another board term if you can. It's worth it, and thank you for the opportunity.
And we do have a plaque for Tom that we will be getting over to him that Susan is showing right now, commemorating his time with us. And so thank you very much. And I don't know if any other board members have anything they'd like to share as well.
Yeah.
I see Lupe also has his hand up, Mr. Chair. Oh, maybe.
All right, Lupe.
My apologies. I just meant to clap for Tom. Thank you, Tom.
Very good. This is Chair Hanel, and I'll just kind of pile on to Sydney's appreciation. It's been wonderful serving with you, Tom. It's been a wild, wild time in that I first started on the board when I came into my role October of 2019, and we had an in-person meeting a couple weeks after that. I felt like I was drinking from the fire hose. So just being able to meet and get grounded a little bit in the work of the board. And then COVID happened, and I haven't seen you in person since. That's been 5 years almost. Really appreciate all your thoughtful feedback that you've given in these meetings, your participation on our different subcommittees and outreach, and just the dedication to the profession. This is much appreciated, and thank you so much for your service. Carla.
Yeah, I wanted to echo that too, Tom. When I first joined the board, it's always hard to come into a new group of people that's been together and doing work for a while together, and you were so friendly and so welcoming, and I really appreciated that. And it's been a pleasure to serve with you. You're the voice of reason, and always calm, and always just super valuable to our group. So we will miss you.
Thank you.
All right.
Get back to business.
Back to work. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Tom. So next we'll move on to some old business, starting with 6.1, an outreach update and discussion. And I will ask board and board staff to report out on outreach activities since we last met.
So I can lead us off. And I apologize. I tried looking through my inbox earlier. I could have sworn that we had a request come in from either UW or WSU trying to plan ahead as they're looking into their fall semester already. And I could not find the email, but I believe we have already had one contact from one of the two universities. Just wanting to kind of get an idea of what it would take to get on our calendars. And so we provided that information, and they'll be sending us more as they work through what their fall semester is going to look like for 2024. And then Susan, I believe, has also been working on updating all of the outreach information that we've had for university outreach, as well as the contact list, and is still working through that. We're also working with the Department of Licensing overall outreach team on kind of making sure everything looks uniform, everything is plain talked properly, and kind of putting it through that lens, as well as getting some additional physical handouts that that we can take with us and that we can share with the universities and colleges around the state, and hopefully provide a little bit more information. So we'll bring those to you as we actually have them. But all of those are still very, very early in their planning stage. So hopefully this summer we'll have something to show you guys on those. But I don't know if any board members have had any other contacts for outreach.
No, we haven't. I would just say that we're doing a lot of current work in the Yakima Basin with Central Washington. So I know they have the pretty active geology department. I might reach out to them and get them in touch with you, Sydney, if I could.
Absolutely.
Vice Chair Brock.
Yeah. Two things, I guess I was going to follow up on that. You know, I'm a Central alumni, so I have a lot of contacts there, so I can certainly use those. Nick Zentner specifically.
Yeah, I've known that Nick would for be, a long time. That would be fabulous, and I just love his YouTube stuff.
So. Yeah, yeah.
It'd be great. Thank you,
Carolyn. Sure. And last month, I went to UW, and I went to one of Kathy Truth's professional development classes. Which is for bachelor's level science students. It's kind of like a kind of an end of major professional course. So there were some geology students in there. There were also some engineering and geography students in there. But I just talked about consulting in the professional world, and it was super helpful. And I think I'll probably go back and do it again. And I've also had just some of those students reach out for kind of, you know, follow-up kind of discussions. So to me, it seems pretty useful to have contact with students who are considering professional pathways in the environmental sciences. So I hope to stay in touch with Kathy and do that some more.
Yeah, this is a board member Struthers. I've got been invited to give case histories presentation for Portland State Engineering Geology, and I can weave in some of the elements of kind of board and licensure into the front end of that conversation when I go and do that, and that'll be in May, I believe.
Thanks, Board Member Struthers. Any other board member updates on outreach activities since we last met?
This is the Board Member Tibb. I'm just wondering if the board will get a chance to see the updated outreach materials and whatnot prior to sort of being finalized or published. So when we're making these contacts, we have a updated and approved kind of communication tools. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. You guys will be getting the opportunity to see those. Like I said, we're very early in those discussions, just getting some preliminary layouts put together. As far as the content, we will be relying very heavily on our board member feedback for what you guys are hearing out in the field that professionals need to hear, directing them toward licensing. One thing we have emphasized is kind of the as we all shift to the digital world, we're wanting to utilize things like QR codes to direct them specifically to the geologist licensing page, and take them to the information that they directly need to know from that handout. So we're putting together a few different ideas, and we will bring those drafts to you as soon as we have them.
Thank you.
All right. Last call for any board member discussion on outreach activities or updates. All right. Thank you for that discussion and the updates. And we'll move on to new business. So our first order of new business for this meeting is the election of new officers. Yay. So just a little background. At the first meeting of every year, the Geologist Licensing Board holds elections for officers for the following 12 months. So we'll need some nominations and votes for a new chair, a new vice chair, and the secretary positions. So we'll start the first person or position in that sequence to elect is the chair. And at this time, I'll open the floor for any nominations. And once we have nominations, we will entertain motions and seconds and discussion per our voting protocol. So at this time, the floor is open for nominations for the next chair.
Chair Hanel, I have a point of clarification. I just wanted to make sure that I understood that, you know, I won't be included because of my, you know, culmination of my tenure on the board. And then we had talked also about sort of kind of moving up sort of gradually. I don't know if that is still the intent of the board. But if that is the case, then I make a nomination for board member Brock as chair.
Yes, thank you, board member Teb. And the intention is to have that progression from vice chair to chair, secretary to vice chair, and bring a new secretary in. So while that is the intention of the board, it's not a requirement of the board. So we need to process-wise have an open nomination period, and we have a nomination of Vice Chair Brock. So are there any other nominations at this point, or is there a motion and then a second for Vice Chair Brock to be elected chair?
Pursuant to the kind of intent that we sketched out with respect to succession, I move to hold a vote to elect board member Brock as the chair.
All right. So move. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion, board member Tab.
All right. The motion has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll move to a vote for the election of Vice Chair Brock to the chair position for the next year. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, hearing none, the motion carries. Congratulations, Vice Chair Brock, on your chairmanship for the next year. And then as board member Teb discussed a little bit, he's the current secretary, but is terming off the board. So the succession plan, now we need both a vice chair and a secretary, to be elected for the next 12 months. So we'll move to the vice chair position. Are there any nominations for a vice chair for the coming year? And you can self-nominate, I will say, I believe, unless that's a process. So,
I'm going to help out here and this is board member Ted, make a nomination for board member Gillum to be vice chair.
Excellent. Are there any other nominations? Board Member Gillum, would you like to discuss at all?
That's an interesting choice there. I don't know. I haven't really looked in to see exactly what that would take. So to know what that's going to involve, I'm not sure. I'm honored, but at the same time, like, what is...
You can do it. You can do it. It's not too bad. It's helping out where you can.
Okay.
Especially with Carla as a chair. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So primarily as the retiring vice chair for the past year, primarily my duties have just been to help Casey and Sydney develop agendas for the board meeting. That's mostly. So we typically have, a quick check-in before every board meeting and help to develop the agenda. That's the main piece of work that the vice chair does.
Okay. I think that is acceptable.
Excellent. And it's a very, very well supported and supportive group. So yeah. You all
awesome.
Have a clear path to success. All right. So we've received a nomination for Vice Chair Gillum. Do we have a motion and a second?
I make a motion to elect Carrie as the vice chair.
This is Board Member Tebb. I second that motion.
All right. The motion has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right. Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, hearing none, congratulations. The motion carries, and Board Member Gillum will be our vice chair for the coming year. Exciting. All right, and then we'll move to our secretary position. And we'll open the floor for nominations for secretary.
I nominate Board Member Struthers for the position of secretary for the coming year.
I would second that nomination. This is Board Member Tebb.
All right. We have a nomination for Board Member Struthers to be the incoming secretary. Are there any other nominations? Okay. Without any additional nominations, we'll ask for a motion and a second to elect Board Member Struthers to the secretary position for the coming year.
I make a motion to elect Board Member Struthers as the secretary for the coming year.
I will second it, Board Member Gillum.
All right, the motion has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion at this time? All right. Hearing no discussion, we'll move to the vote. All in favor of the election of Board Member Struthers to the secretary position for the coming year, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right. Hearing none, the motion carries. And congratulations, Board Member Struthers, on your upcoming role as secretary for the next 12 months. And I'll just give a huge thank you to Board Member Brock, the new chair, Board Member Gillum, the new vice chair, and Board Member Struthers, the new secretary, for being willing to serve in those capacities for the next 12 months. I think, again, you'll find working with Sydney and Susan and all the licensing board staff. It's a very supportive environment, and it's a great way to serve and participate on this board. So thank you so much for stepping into those roles.
And this is Board Member Tab. Just want to thank you, Chair Hanel, or former Chair Hanel, on your service over this past year. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you. It's been great. All right. So with that, we'll move to item 7.2 in our new business, which is a spring exam update. And I'll ask Sydney to present at this time.
Thank you very much. So as the slide says, our spring exams are going to take place on March 14th and 15th for the ASBOG exams, and then March 15th for our two specialty exams. We'll have the engineering geologists go first in the morning and then hydrogeologists in the afternoon. And currently, we have 44 applicants who have scheduled for the FG and 18 for the PG through ASBOG. So that's a total of 62 for the ASBOG exams. And since we do have a lot of members of the public on this call, so folks who may or may not be aware, but ASBOG did move to computer-based testing last year. So I believe this is our third exam cycle on computer-based examinations, and that's why we have the two dates is that's when the computer sites are available, and they found that it was necessary to have the two dates rather than the one. So then for the specialty exams, we currently have 8 who have registered for the hydrogeology exam. We have 1 that is still pending. We're waiting to hear final determination, but that is waiting on the applicant. And then we have 3 who have registered for the engineering geologist exam. So we did have a very large number of engineering geologists who took the exam and passed last fall. And so we weren't too surprised when we saw that number dip a little bit this go around. So we'll only have 3, but we do have quite a few between the two. We also have several applicants who are pending on the ASBOG exam side, 43 applicants who have not scheduled. So our licensing team is working through all of those applicants to see if there are any that are still waiting on our end or if they have decided just to hold off until the fall. And so with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Sydney. Hearing no questions, we can move to our next item on the agenda. So item 7.3 in our new business is the board participation with the Washington State Hydrogeology Symposium. And I'll ask Sydney to present on this item, please.
Thank you very much. This was a request from Vice Chair Brock to bring forward this item. She requested at the end of last meeting regarding the board's participation and attendance at the Washington State Hydrogeology Symposium that is hosted by the University of Washington. The dates for the symposium are April 22nd through 25th, 2024. There is an $800 fee for the basic exhibitor level, and that does include 1 complimentary registration for an attendee, and then there's additional charges above and beyond that. So what we're looking for today is for the board to determine whether this is something you all would like to participate in and staff at that symposium, and whether you feel like this is a good outreach opportunity. One thing I will point out just on behalf of staff is that $800 does end up coming out of the travel budget for the board, which we'll be diving a little bit more into later in the agenda with the budget presentation. But there is money in the travel budget. It's just that as we move into the second half of the biennium, that $800 could be traveled to WSU or to Central Washington. So just kind of wanting the board to consider is, does this align with the priorities of the board and where those dollars get spent for that outreach travel? So I would turn it back over to the board for your input and direction to us on how you want to proceed.
Board member Tip.
Yeah, first of all, I think this is a wonderful opportunity for us to, you know, to meet a target audience that, you know, is riding our profession here and encourage many of them to get licensed. I know that I have attended the Hydrogeology Symposium in years past, both as just a participant and also as a board member, and I always found it worthwhile. In regards to the cost, I wonder if there is a something less than that. If there's, if we have our materials ready, you know, our outreach materials, is there like a table or something we could leave stuff behind? I'm just wondering if there was a any way to communicate with the symposium staff or to see if there's something maybe a little less expensive. But I would be a supporter of this expense.
So I'm going to kind of rely on Susan a little bit, as she's the one who's been interfacing with the symposium staff. But I believe that the $800 is the most introductory level that we can have a table at, and then the prices go up from there. And that includes, pull the website back up. I knew that question was going to come up. Yeah, the $800 is the basic exhibitor level, and then they go up to silver, gold, and platinum from there for increased costs, and include names, logos, website, on handouts, web address, logo and web address, excuse me, printed in the program, and then a table in a high traffic area for that basic. For the next level up, you get third level placement, on a logo slide that is projected at all of the keynote sessions, and then they add additional things for each of the extra levels. So that is that introductory level, and that's the lowest we'd be able to do that at.
Yeah, no, I get it. I helped chair this event 1 year, and it's definitely kind of a fundraising effort to keep this symposium going. It's just a great opportunity to bring professionals together from all across the state in the Northwest. So, again, I think it's a worthwhile endeavor.
Board Member Gillum.
Yeah, I agree that I think this is a really good outreach opportunity. I've attended this as a participant a couple of times. I plan on attending this this coming year, but it was going to be through my workplace, so I wouldn't necessarily be available as a board member. I was wondering, though, if maybe we have the opportunity, if we are concerned about funds, to partner up with, if the universities are putting a table together, if there are other agencies that are putting a table together, like Tom had said, if there was some place that we could put our outreach materials with them in order, and then maybe perhaps have members that kind of stand with them to order in order to get our information out. I mean, we already are kind of doing some outreach with some of these, especially universities. Maybe they would be willing to allow us to hand out our materials there.
Thanks, Board Member Gillum. Board Member Brock.
Thanks. You know, we did this 2 years ago at the Hydro Symposium. We had a table, and kind of in between sessions when there's like snack time or coffee breaks or whatever, we would kind of take turns hanging out there. And we had a lot of students that would come up and ask us questions about licensing. Even some professionals that weren't licensed came up and asked us questions about how to go about getting licensure, you know, about testing, about studying, about experience. And so I found it to be really helpful at, you know, trying to recruit new licensees specifically to the hydro specialty, which I think, you know, we have seen decreasing licensure over the last 10 years, and especially in the specialty, with the specialty licenses. So, you know, if we are able to have a table, I plan to sit at it and answer questions as I'm able. I think that having a separate table makes us a little more approachable for people who specifically do have questions about licensure. And I think, you know, I think in the overall scheme of things, once a year or once every 2 years, an $800 expense to participate in something like this is worth it. So.
This is outgoing Chair Hanel. I concur that it seems like a very high value opportunity to interact with a target audience of hydrogeologists, both current professionals and students and aspiring professionals in that specific discipline. So I'm supportive of the expense. As Sydney was indicating, there may be more context around this once we have the bigger picture budget idea. For me, it's a high priority, and I endorse the $800 expense. Without the context of what the overall budget is, it's a little bit hard to put it in a prioritized context. But even thinking through this opportunity compared to, say, a board meeting at a university or the board traveling somewhere, this seems, in my mind, like a higher return for our investment to have this opportunity to engage with professionals in the hydrogeology profession or aspiring to be. Board Member Gill.
Yeah, I think I just want to add to my comment too and agree that this is a much broader audience that we're going to be getting to. And it was also brought up, this only happens once every 2 years. So I think that that's also very value added, that we're not like doing this every single year, and we're only going to be able to do this every other year.
And on the budget, as Chair Hanel hinted at, I did pull up what we'll be talking about here in just a couple of moments. We're about a fifth of the way, or we've spent about a fifth of the travel budget so far for this biennium. And we're a little over a quarter of the way through. Really, the big travel expenses that hit this program are the annual, or the twice annually, ASBOG events. And so for us to only be about a fifth of the way through that budget, and we've already knocked out a quarter of that travel, I'm hopeful that we're going to have the money in the travel so that it won't impact. I think the only thing that it would end up impacting maybe toward the end of the biennium is our ability to travel for university visits versus maybe doing something virtually. But I've also been hearing across our different programs that like WSU is kind of preferring to do virtual participation when inviting different folks to come in and speak at their professional development courses. That way they can just Skype in, have their few minutes, and then go on rather than going through the expense and trying to arrange travel to bring people over there. That's just something WSU is really embracing right now. So it may not even end up being an issue, but I just wanted the board to be aware of that consideration for that second half of the biennium. But as of right now, for the travel budget, we are looking pretty healthy as far as being able to absorb this expense.
Board Member Struthers.
Yeah, I'd like to mimic Chair Hanel's statement that this really is an excellent opportunity. I think it's one that would be remiss in the board not taking the opportunity to use this for outreach.
Okay. So I think from board staff, just because this is our first cycle where the symposium has come up for any of us, we wanted to hear the feedback, especially since we're going to be getting questions about the expenditure. We needed to hear from the board all of these things, that this is a really great way to get a really large group of people in one place. So thank you for sharing all of that. And that also gives us insight as we work with the budget team as they start planning for next biennium to make sure that we have that additional built in and that we're not just looking at like the ASBOG related travel with a little bit of cushion for our university, that we actually built this in as part of it. So sounds like the board is in agreement to participate in this. So with that, we would need to know who plans to participate. Like I said, that $800 does include one complimentary registration. If there are more board members who are interested in participating, it's an additional $150 to and actually just got a message that somebody added that to the budget worksheet. So this has been a really great conversation. So thank you. But there is an additional $150 fee. So if we have two board members who would like to participate, it's just the additional $150. So total of $950 for that additional registration. Much, much more cost effective than what the registration is for the symposium itself. I think it's at $475 a person right now to register. So much more cost effective to do it that way.
Board member Tip.
Yeah, I also plan on attending, but I plan on attending through my work as well. So I'll have my, I guess my fees covered in that regard. So I would open it up to other board members if they wish to take advantage of that reduced rate. Thank you, Sydney.
Board member Brock.
I will be attending. I haven't yet registered. I could use the DOL registration, or if nobody else is going to use it. Otherwise, my company will pay for my registration fee. So.
I am not planning on going, and I would support Vice Chair Brock being the board member participants to be registered along with the table. Also, anyone else on the board interested in attending that hasn't spoken to that interest already.
Board staff could also attend. It wouldn't be as exciting, but they could certainly answer questions about, you know, the licensure process. So.
Board member Struthers.
Yeah, this is board member Struthers. I actually have a training conflict with that date, so I will not be attending.
Board member Gillum.
So I guess the possibility is I could register under DOL and then be able to work the table. Because otherwise, if I do register under my current employer, I wouldn't be able to help out. So I leave that up as an opportunity if you guys wish. I have not yet paid for my registration yet, but I do plan on attending. I was actually going to register this week, so. Depending on what the choice is, I can go either way. I would love the opportunity to be able to help man the table, because I do want to have that opportunity to kind of reach out with the community and talk to them about licensing. But I know that I have kind of a conflict going where I, you know, if I'm going to be paid for under my current employer, I can't necessarily do board work. So it's kind of up to you guys. If somebody else wants to do the table, I do have the opportunity to have my employer pay for it.
Vice Chair Brock.
I don't have those same restrictions, so my employer can pay and I can still sit at the table. So I think it makes sense for Board Member Gillum to go as the DOL registrant and help out at the table.
All right, this is Chair Hanel. That sounds like a great solution. And provides additional opportunity to have board members staffing the table and being able to interact.
All right. If we could just get a motion to that effect for the board to participate and for board member Gillum to be the recipient of the registration, and then Susan will be getting in touch with you here shortly to make sure we get all of everything set for that.
This is board member Teb. I make a motion to approve the Department of Licensing Geology Board to participate in the Hydrogeology Symposium scheduled for April 22nd through the 25th, 2024 at the Muckleshoot Casino in Auburn, Washington, at the cost of approximately $800, and also to include board member Gillum as the other participant and reduced tuition costs, I guess. Sorry, it was a long motion.
This is board member Brock. I second the motion.
All right, thank you. This is Chair Hanel. The motion has been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll move to a vote. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. And we can move to our next agenda item, which is the report section. So I'll ask Sydney to facilitate the reports.
Absolutely. And so with these committee and task force reports, board members, please feel free to jump in and offer any input. As I know, I think all of you are on at least one of these, if not multiple. So we'll start off with the Engineering Geologist Exam Review Committee. This group did finish their review on the EG exam, both versions. And I been working on compiling those notes as well as the comments from all of our previous examinees. The next step for that group is going to be to kind of come together, finalize those notes and thoughts, and then we'll be working through what the next step looks like. This group will have the additional steps of going through the review a second time with the board committee from Oregon, since we do co-share that exam with them. They've completed their review and we're all just kind of waiting on that next step. We anticipate that that's going to be bringing everybody together for a single day, most likely in Vancouver, for everybody to be in one room, sit down, take a look at the exam, and particularly the questions that the board has concerns about. If there are minor changes that need to be made, such as a typo or something in the calculation that when it moved from one format to a new format got a little off, if it's things like that, then we'll be making those changes. And then if there are questions that need to be removed and replaced from the question bank, we'll be going through that with the entire group and making those changes. That way we are all operating on the same versions of the exam for both Oregon and Washington. So we anticipate that will actually happen sometime this summer. Unfortunately, I am going to be out for a period of time this spring, and that's going to add a little bit of a delay. So we're looking ahead to June or July for that date to happen, and we'll be getting in touch with the Oregon board to kind of narrow that window a little bit more as we get closer. That way people can plan around. So did Casey or Jim, did either of you have anything to add on that one?
Nope. That sounds like a good summary of the process steps where we've gotten to this point and what we have looking ahead of us. So, great summary. Thank you.
Yeah, board members, here.
Okay. So on the hydrogeologist exam review group, Tom and Carla did complete their review last fall. I've compiled the notes with the that they made with the comments, and we just need to pull them together for an additional meeting but just the way that the cycle has been running for us on the staff side, we haven't been able to set aside a large enough chunk of time or several large enough chunks of time in order to give them a variety of options. So we will be making sure that we do that hopefully very, very soon, because I know Tom is going to be leaving us, but hopefully if we don't make it by the May 1st deadline when his term expires, that he'll still be willing to help us out when he's on the side of the mountain. And we'll get that review finalized and get any changes made and get that.
Happy to help.
Thank you. And did either of you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I guess the only thing I'd add is it was a good refresher and eye-opening experience. You know, you get away after a career of 30 some odd years, you get away from some of the nuts and bolts of the actual work, and so it was refreshing and you know, gave me a better appreciation for those who were taking the exam. So it was a good experience.
Awesome. All right. So then we'll move to the Working Titles Committee. This is regarding the working titles for, it's a broader group, but this came out of the discussion regarding titles for positions used around state agencies, particularly with the terms hydrogeologist, engineering geologist, and then geologist, when they may not be doing that specific work and certainly may not be licensed to do that work. So that group has had one preliminary meeting so far with our advising attorney general, Elizabeth Lagerberg. She provided some really great feedback, and that group is going to be working on putting together a best practices document as far as how those titles should work and the work that should be done utilizing those titles. So they'll be continuing to work with Elizabeth through that process, and we'll be bringing that document back to the board as soon as it is ready to go. So, and I believe that was Jim and Tom. Did either of you have anything else you wanted to add on that?
No, this is Board Member Struthers. I thought it was a really productive meeting. It was kind of good to get the AG's perspective on the issue.
Yep, same here. Nothing to add. Thank you.
Okay, and our last one is, this title is probably going to be changing as the work of this board is evolving and we kind of flush out what this group is doing. But this started out as our non-licensed experience verifier committee. And then during discussion at the last board meeting, when this committee was formed, we included non-traditional applicant requirements. So this has kind of become that all around application review committee. This group has been very, very busy, and we are very, very grateful to all of them. It has been a very busy cycle heading into the spring exams. We've had some staff scheduling issues, and it did lead to a little bit of a backup for us getting all of our applicants pushed through for the spring exams. And to complicate the matter, we had a very, very large number of non-traditional applicants this go around. I think previous cycles, we've maybe had 5 or 6 total throughout the entire 6-month cycle. And this go around, I think we had 30 plus non-traditional applicants that this committee worked through with us and sent a lot of really great feedback back to the licensing team. And so it's between the two complicating factors, it's kind of been a trial by fire getting this group up and running. So we're very grateful. They were only scheduled to meet twice heading into the spring exams for March 15th, and they have ended up meeting 4 times for us. And like I said, providing a lot of really great feedback, reviewing a ton of documents. I think they've reviewed over 50 documents for us in these meetings and helped us really sort through a whole lot of variables that we just did not see coming. So we're very, very appreciative to them as we move into what this will look like post-exams is we'll be bringing this committee together to flesh out how we can make this go much smoother. Like I said, when we first formed this committee at the last meeting in December, we did not anticipate all of the challenges that were going to come with that. And so it really became just, okay, let's get through this cycle and then let's settle down and figure out how this looks moving forward. So we've already had some preliminary discussions about how that's going to change how we're going to have those meetings structured for the future, as well as working with our licensing team on the process in the background and how things flow to this committee and then back. So we're very, very appreciative. This committee has been Carrie, Tom, and Jim. Thank you all so much for rearranging your schedules for us and accommodating and really diving in with us and helping us power through some pretty big struggles as we headed into the exam. So thank you all. And I don't know if any of you had anything else you wanted to add.
Yeah, this is Board Member Struthers. With Tom leaving, we're definitely recruiting. We could use all the help we can get.
Yeah, it's another great opportunity to kind of see, you know, kind of what's coming at us in terms of applicants and some of their verifiers. So, you know, encourage folks who may not have had a chance to serve on a committee yet, if you're able to, this is a good committee to do so.
And I think in terms of staff education, this has by far been the most educational committee for us. It has been fascinating sitting in these meetings and listening to the three board members review transcripts and verifier information and all of the different things you guys are looking for and the technical aspects of the why behind it. It's been a really huge education for us. So we're wanting to get more staff members into these meetings, if for no other reason than just getting that technical understanding of the work you all do and what our applicants need to be prepared for heading into exams. It's been very eye-opening, so we appreciate it. Thank you. All right, so then we will dive into our next one, which is our complaint status report. And as always, this group doesn't have a very large number. We have four total that have been closed, one that is still in investigations, one is in a management review for a grand total of six. We are very grateful you guys don't have very many. As far as our licensee count report, and I'm going to hang out on this one just a little bit more than I probably normally would, based on a question that I got from Board Member Webb before she left. And she did not ask me to share this. It was a question that I had not thought about, hadn't paid attention to. And then when she asked it, I was like, oh my gosh. So looking at our licensee count, wanted to point out that we do have an aging demographic for this profession. The vast majority of our active licensees are over the age of 45, with a very large percentage being over the age of 55. And so knowing that those numbers, especially with the 55 to 64 group, we don't know how many of those are on the 64 end versus the 55 end. And so factoring that in, that means there's a large number of active licensees who are inching closer to retirement. So just something I wanted to make sure the board saw and was aware of as we're looking at outreach opportunities, just that that is something that eventually will be catching up with our licensing base. Yeah, we can go to our next one. This is just a look at our specialty endorsements and the same trend that I pointed out on the previous slide for our total licensees. That does hold true for our specialty endorsements as well. So again, just wanted to point that out, that especially as you guys are getting out and talking to people, and particularly for our specialty endorsements, because I know a lot of those are being trained up from within and coming up under a lot of you who have those specialty endorsements. So just as you guys are recruiting for those positions, just probably something to be aware of, that that might be something you guys want to be talking to colleagues about training people up under. And then this is just a look at our 2023 year at a glance. We're looking at, or we're trying to get put together a year over year comparison, but this is the one that we had available to us for this meeting. So are there any questions or discussion on that licensee count report? Okay. Well, then our next one, the one that I'm sure everybody is so excited for, is our budget discussion. This was provided to me by our Department of Licensing budget team. So we're going to have some good news and some bad news with this one. One thing I do want to point out is that this budget report is reflective of our spending authority, not necessarily of our fund health. So the budget team did make sure to point that out to me, that fund health wise, the program is actually sitting much, much better than it was a year ago and 2 years ago. So I know there was a lot of angst, as there always is with any sort of fee increase. And I know that it hit this profession harder than it did some of our others with that fee increase 2 years ago. However, it has had the desired effect in terms of fund health. So that is the good news. The bad news is that the spending authority that we were delegated by the legislature is what these numbers are based on. So that's why you're going to see some red, and why we're going to have that little bit of bad news in there. So biggest hit to any program in any agency, the biggest cost is always the human capital. Salaries and benefits are always the biggest expense, no matter what the program is, no matter what the agency is. That is always the biggest one. We are projected to have a shortfall in that. However, that is based on some totals that may not be complete. And so let me explain that a little bit. We've had three positions that came open at the beginning of the biennium and have remained open. Those positions have not been opened up for recruitment. And to my knowledge, at this particular point, are not going to be open for recruitment at this time. Doesn't mean they won't be over the next biennium. They're just not on the docket right now. That has led to a cost savings for us. With the budget team, because they have to budget conservatively, they still have to leave those numbers in there as if those positions are filled. The longer those positions remain open, the smaller that shortfall becomes. So until they have a hard and fast, nope, these numbers are eliminated, that has to stay in there so that they can budget conservatively. But the longer those wait, the better that becomes. The other area that we had small hit, and we're talking a $200 hit, but for a program budget around the $300,000 mark, $200 does make a little bit of an impact, as we did have a little bit of an increase in goods and services that we were not anticipating. And that goods and services also encompasses our ASBOG annual dues. So that is normally the only expense that comes out of that. That's what that $4,500 budgeting was. And there were a couple of other expenses that had to be charged to that through, I believe it was software changes. So that is kind of the downside of where we ended up. We did have some additional positions and some additional expenditures that came out of legislation over the last two cycles that did have a little bit of an impact and led to those increases that weren't budgeted for and we didn't have the spending authority for when we entered the biennium, and then the legislature went and changed the game on us. So that hit in the terms of Polaris and some licensing reviews that we are required to do that hit all of our programs. It wasn't specific to geology. They were software changes, and then we have an annual licensing review. It's a full regulatory review bill that is going to hit every program. So that has been charged out to every program. We also had our military spouse liaison position that was added, and so a very small portion of that position comes out of each program because it works for each of the programs. So the budget office is making a recommendation for the legislature to look at increasing our spending authority for the next biennium. If we start really getting too close to those numbers and they need to look at making that request earlier, they will work through their process. But they were very quick to point out that fund health-wise, we're doing okay. So the big thing that is going to be affecting the board is always the travel budget. Like I said, right now, we're about a fifth of the way through what we have budgeted for in that category. And we're hoping that that holds steady. I'm not anticipating a big hiccup. So like I said, it may just be those couple end of the biennium things, and we will work through those as we come up. But we have made sure to to let the agency know that ASVOG attendance is the priority for the board and that that is necessary, and what the long-term impacts are, not only to the board, to the program, and to our licensees as a whole. So that message has been received by the agency, and they know to keep that funding alive no matter what. So the only other thing I wanted to point out on this before I ask or before I open it up for questions, you will see the number of full-time employees there toward the middle of the slide. Right now we have 2.5 full-time employees that are allotted for this program. The projected expenditure for that, like I said, with those 3 vacant positions, that actually drops that number down. But I wanted to point out that 2.5 full-time employees actually represents 22 separate positions within the business and professions division. So it's it's a very big group supporting this program for what is ending up costing the program only 2.5 employees. So when we talk about salaries and benefits and all of that and that human capital, it really is a very large group for a very small number. And so with that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Board Member Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Cindy. These are always interesting conversations. In large part because we don't get to see kind of how the sausage is being made kind of at the Department of Licensing side. You guys kind of come up with an allotment that you kind of feel is where we fit for the services that we need to continue our profession in terms of licensing and attending all of the testing and ASBOG meetings and so on. So just a comment for, the board members in the future, there may be an opportunity to maybe have a bit of a deeper dive on the budget, maybe at a separate board meeting to understand how our fees, stack up versus our expenses versus, this notion of 22 different professions sort of all throwing their money in a pot and then, trying to figure out what is an appropriate balance of goods and services and so on. So we're just sort of seeing one side of this budget, and it's a little hard for us, at least it has been for me historically, to think about, okay, well, how much do we generate kind of based on our annual license fees? Because they are expensive. I just paid mine recently and will continue to do so. But I don't know how that stacks up with all the services that you provide, how that stacks up with the allotments that were provided in 2023-25. So I'm just suggesting maybe at some point the board maybe develop a subcommittee to do just a little deeper dive to understand and maybe have some input in future allotments for the 25-27 biennium and so on. So just a few thoughts from my experience on the board on this issue.
And we appreciate that and that feedback. That gives us a lot of really good information to take back to the agency and say, hey, this is the type of information that the board is interested in seeing. Can we spell it out a little bit more in depth? Can we look at the revenues versus the expenditures and what makes up the fund health? So we will be sharing that feedback up our chain of command and with the budget team so that they can hopefully get something in place that provides a little bit more of that information.
Board Member Brock.
Yeah, I just wondered if you could remind us. I know we've talked about it before, but there are some limitations to what we are allocated for travel, right? We don't get to like make a proposition about what that is. It's kind of defined for us. Can you remind us how that works?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. Board staff is asked on behalf of the board what we anticipate the board's travel is going to be. Previously, it looked a little different just because of who was in positions and how those positions were structured. And then with the changes that came under the functional alignment, and at the same time, a very large number of those people who had been active players in those discussions also retiring, we had a little bit of a hiccup last biennium in how that looked. So with this biennium, as we were heading into it, particularly with the travel and the issues that came with us not being able to participate in ASBOG a year ago, we very loudly had those discussions further up our chain of command. And that actually led to some really great conversations. So it became more of a, okay, board staff, what are you hearing from the board is a priority as far as travel. And so we made sure they knew not only ASBOG travel, but also university outreach, resuming that in-person or those in-person discussions with students. And with the anticipation of being able to have better, more well-rounded discussions in future bienniums, but just changing how all of that looked. So it's one of those situations. The board doesn't necessarily have budgetary authority, or not necessarily. The board doesn't have budgetary authority, but we do want to get to a place where we're getting those priorities and that feedback from the board. Again, with this board being structured just a little bit different in responsibility from what some of our others are, and how the interface with ASBOG is a very different structure from what a lot of our other programs are. So wanting to get to a place where the agency understands that this board may need to have a little bit more input. So we're having those discussions. We're hoping that it gets heard and that it leads to some really positive changes. It's just, again, as we've been working through how the face of things changes and how things once looked and maybe need to look a little bit differently now. So yeah, it's one of those, the board doesn't have the spending authority, but at the same time, we really want to make sure that those priorities from the board are being heard by the agency.
Right. Thank you.
Other budget questions or comments from the board? I'll just share my appreciation, Sydney, as well, for bringing this discussion and this level of detail and kind of build on Board Member Tebb's comment that it'd be great to take a little bit deeper dive just to really understand where the fees are going, what that fund health is, and then how that's distributed. It helps at a minimum with prioritization when we're thinking about entertaining motions about where we participate and exercising the discretion that we do have within our board. I think it puts us in a more informed decision-making place to have that kind of background information so we can do the best we can with the resources we have for our profession.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Like I said, we'll be sharing that with the budget team as well as with our chain of command to make sure everybody's aware of the ask. All right, well then I will turn it over to Susan to go over the master action item list.
So on the master action item list, we have exam feedback review committee to review exams, results, and question banks. That's still in progress. I have a few meetings I will be setting up for those. The charter review is still in progress. Check on specialty exam frequency to administer the exam, cost, and budget. That's currently on hold. Outreach, that is in progress. Hydroscope of practice, that is currently in progress, reported on today. reach out to California to learn how they have dealt with their specialty license hydrogeology regarding codes, statutes, etc. That's in progress. The non-license experienced verifier subcommittee, Sydney reported on that, and it will have a new name, and we will have a future meeting set for the game plan moving forward. And the spring COE travel was taken care of for board member Gillum. And that is it. Does anybody have any questions?
This is Chair Hanel. Question on the spring COE travel. That's something we approved last time.
Correct. Last time, right? It was just an action item to work on from the last meeting.
Excellent. Thank you. Other questions or comments from the board on the master action item list? I'll just note again, board member Teb has been very active in a lot of these efforts, and just a huge thanks and appreciation for all you've done in engagement with the board and the board's work.
And I did want to mention regarding the outreach, I did send out an updated contact list, and I sent out some materials. There was a large PowerPoint that I believe Eileen created, and a pamphlet. And as Sydney said, that we were going to have the department kind of look over it for, you know, the wording. So if you guys see anything, I'll re-forward it to you. But if you see anything that needs to be corrected or changed, I will correct it in there. Oh, it was the plain talk. So the department was going to take a look at it for the plain talk. But if you see anything regarding, you know, geologists, hydrogeologists, can you let me know and I will correct whatever isn't up to date?
Plain talk as well as accessibility, making sure that we're using appropriate fonts, sizes, colors, things like that, so that it's accessible to a wider audience.
Thank you.
Board member Brock.
Yeah, this is kind of separate but related. You know, we have that trifold pamphlet that talks about licensure kind of procedures and provides links to the websites and stuff. If we could get some of those produced for the Hydro Symposium table, that would be great.
No problem.
All right. Other discussion on the master action item list?
And one more thing, sorry. Carla, Deb was telling us that we do have some stuff that would be, you know, to do up the table, little banners, things like that. So next week, maybe I'll take a look to see what we have, and I'll let you and Carrie know what we have.
We'll have a very large group in the office Thursday and Friday preparing for exams, so we'll be able to dig in on everything geology on Thursday and Friday next week.
All right. Thank you, Sydney and Susan. And we'll move to agenda item 9, our public comments. So the public may address the board on matters within the board's jurisdiction, either verbally during the meeting or by submitting written comments in advance. Verbal comments are limited to 1 3-minute comment. Written comments are limited to no more than 500 words and must be emailed to dolboards@dol.wa.gov no less than 2 business days prior to the meeting with the subject line, Public Comment, Geologist Board. In response to all public comments, the board is limited to requesting that the matter be added to a future agenda for discussion or directing staff to study the matter further. Inflammatory comments and language will not be permitted. So at this time, we'll open up the floor for public comments. We have a hand raised from a member of the public, Greg Wessel. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. I'm sorry, I don't have the video operative here. But I used to sit on the board, served 4 years. Hello, Carla and Tom. Have a question and a comment, actually. My first question is, is there a spot that you can direct me to for differentiating tasks that geologists do versus engineering geologists? It's difficult sometimes to separate that. And I have a situation a client is dealing with where a licensed geologist is trying to dictate to engineering staff parameters they should use in slope modeling. And I'd like to have some clarification on that. Is there a good source of information for that?
So unfortunately, during the public comments, we cannot answer questions. But if I could get you to email your question to dolboards@dol.wa.gov, I can get you directed to the right place.
Perfect. So then I guess the other comment would refer back to your outreach initiatives. I find it very interesting that the demographics of licensed geologists have changed to the point where we're heavy on the old side and light on the young. That's very interesting. I'm president of a nonprofit called Geology in the Public Interest. We have two other board members in our group besides me, Dave Norman, whom you know, and Will Ernst, who also has experience at ASBOG. And we're actually working on an initiative to deal with licensing. So I'm wondering if it would be good to connect with you folks in a more formal way. And I guess I can do that through an email to the DOL boards as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could send that to the DOL boards at dol.wa.gov, we'll make sure it gets disseminated out accordingly.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the comments and looking forward to the additional outreach. Are there additional public comments for this meeting of the board? All right, hearing none, we can move to item number 10 on our agenda, which is the conclusion. So at this point, are there any board members that have any announcements they would like to share for the board?
Mr. Chair, I have one announcement that we have had 4 applications for the opening positions that we will be having in May. We've already started having those preliminary discussions and we'll be forwarding those notes to the director's office. So we'll keep the board posted as those recruitments evolve.
Fantastic. That is great news and looking forward to getting closer to a fully staffed board. Other announcements from the group? All right, we'll move to item 10.2. Are there any requests for agenda items to add to the next board meeting agenda? All right. Hearing none, we'll move to the review of action items and items for the next meeting that have been captured. And I'll ask Susan to please review our action items and items we've already identified as agenda items for our next meeting.
So I have to work on the outreach material with the department to do the accessibility and the plain talk. And once that's updated, I'll send it out to the board. I have to coordinate the symposium with the registration of board and Vice Chair Brock. I know I won't be arranging yours, but you'll be participating, and to get the outreach materials to you and Carrie. And it looks like I'll be setting up three different meetings, one with the Oregon Board for the EG exam review, and then with Secretary Tebb and Vice Chair Brock for the HG exam. And the new name for the new committee, Application Requirements Verifications, will be giving you an update on how the exams went this go around and what we can work on to make it go more smoothly for the next go round. So those were the items that I captured. If there's anything I missed, please let me know.
All right, that sounds like a great list of follow-up actions and items for our next agenda. Thank you, Susan. All right, and so with that, we'll move to our final matter of business today, which is getting ready to adjourn the meeting. I'd just like to thank one more time Board Member Tebb for 8 years of distinguished service to our board and our profession. It's been a pleasure. And just thank you all. It's been a great learning experience to be the chair of this board for the last year. And looking forward to incoming chair Brock's fearless leadership of our board for the next year. So thank you. And with that, we will say the time is now 11:27 and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Board Member Tim.